Logan, could you throw up the picture of the manger scene? All right. Familiar scene. Over here we have some small little figurines of a manger scene. You got the baby Jesus, Mary, Joseph, some shepherds, wise men in there. There's an angel in there too. Yeah, angel in there. But don't check out on me today just because we're going to look at a familiar story. Because what we're going to do here in December, we're going to take a look inside that scene to some things going on behind the scene, look at some characters in the scene, but in a way that causes us to take a look back at things that go on in us all the time that we grapple with. And today I want to take a particular character, Joseph, whose story begins before that scene. His story that we see in the Bible begins before that, and it continues beyond that time. And there's some amazing things that happen that really, as I look at his life, I see some things in us. So I want you to think for a minute, how many of you are like, in some way like me, in that if you were honest, you would say, okay, wait a minute, you feel safe me asking you this question? Let's close your eyes for a second so you don't feel embarrassed. How many of you, if you were honest, would say, I am probably a controller? All right, very few hands are going up right now. And the reason is because some would say, because controllers, we like to control our eyes, first of all, and we like to control our hands. I'll raise my eyes and I'll raise my hands and close my eyes when I want to. You're not going to tell, you know, that's the truth. And I like to see things organized. I like to see things look not too chaotic. I like control. And we had a terrific time with Sandy's family this week for Thanksgiving down in Ohio, but there was some chaos, and in fact, the Thanksgiving dinner that was supposed to happen at 1:30 finally came to pass at 5:30. Just to give you an example of how the day went, but we really enjoyed them, the family, and it was fun. By the way, while Sandy was running in the turkey trot and doing amazing things on that day, I was hanging out with the turkeys. Hey, where's that picture? Where'd our projectionist go? Oh, there he is. There I am. So while she was running with the other thousands of runners, I just hung out with the turkey over up near the finish line. And so before anybody used that against me, I just wanted to put it up there and just offer it. But, it struck me, with thousands of people entering the event and the loved ones hanging around, it takes a lot of organization and control, but they really were in charge. I mean, the whoever was on the MC over the microphone and the speakers, I mean, we're talking thousands of people over a several block area that they needed to get organized for the beginning of each event. And there were different events depending if you were doing, you know, the little kiddie run or the 2.5 walk or the 5 mile run. If it had been out of control, poorly organized, everybody would have been really nervous. But it was really well run. Because there's a fact about humanity. There's just a fact about us. When things feel out of control, we want to know somebody's in charge. Amen? We want to know somebody's in charge. Let's take the airline. You can take that crazy picture off there now. Let's take the airline industry, for instance. When you're on a plane and the pilot comes on, I think they must train them all to speak in the same tone when they're in pilot school. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Flight 369. We'll be flying at 32,000 feet. And in a few moments, I'll turn off the fasten your seatbelt sign, and you'll be able to roam around the cabin at that time. Attendants will be bringing you some refreshments. If you have anything at all that you need, feel free to ask them. But then if you're up in the, you know, you're halfway through your flight and some turbulence comes, you know, I mean, this plane starts to shake, what do you hear? Same thing. Morning, ladies and gentlemen from the flight deck. Sorry, we're just encountering a little bit of turbulence this morning. So I'm going to put the fasten your seatbelt sign back on. If you take your seats and fasten your seatbelt safely for your safety, we'll get you to your destination just as soon as we can. We were on a flight one time from, we'd come back from Mexico, and from New Jersey to Rochester, we ran into a thunderstorm. I mean, it was night, dark, pitch dark. Lightning bolts are flashing out the window. I look out the window, and the wings are going like this out there. The plane is just rocking all over the place. And there on the loudspeaker, "Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, from the flight deck. I'm sorry that we're encountering this turbulence. Just keep your seatbelt safely fastened, and we'll get you on the ground just as soon as possible." I'm pretty sure the tail could break off, and they'd still come on and say, "Ladies and gentlemen, you just keep your seatbelts fastened. We'll be hitting the ground just as soon as possible." You know, just why is it? Why is it you never hear a pilot say, "Oh, wow. Oh, man, this is, hey, don't look out the window right now because it's shaking out there. Look at that lightning. You know, okay, fast, get your seatbelts on, or unless you want to be splattered against the ceiling." You know, they don't say stuff. Why? Because there's a couple hundred people on the plane who want to know that somebody is in charge when things are shaking. It's just a matter of human nature. You will never hear a pilot talk like that because it's an absolute truth that there is someone in charge. It's not you and it's not me. There is somebody in charge, and he's the living God. You know, if you go to your kitchen cabinet and you've got a bunch of little plastic storage containers of different sizes and bowls, and you open up and they start falling out. What do? You try to quickly get them organized so that won't happen again. And that's kind of how we are in life. If things feel a little chaotic, we try or feel out of control, or there's a sudden change, something happens we weren't expecting, we try quickly to recover and get things back into that feeling of being, we scramble a bit to get that feeling of being safe and secure again. But there's someone in charge. It's not you. It's not me. And that's what gives us the possibility. That's the truth that makes it possible to have absolute peace in the middle of a stormy situation. So I want to look at Joseph today, and this will apply to whether it's our school situation, our work, our family, our nation. And we're going to take a look at three different pictures of Joseph. And the first scene from the manger scene, part one, we're going to read from Matthew chapter 1. We're going to see something happen where this guy encounters some extreme disappointment. Have you ever, ever experienced extreme disappointment? Come on. All right, Joseph's going to experience that. So Mary says, "Joseph, we need to talk. I'm pregnant." "What? Well, it's not by you." "I know it's not from me. No, I'm pregnant by the Holy Spirit." Oh yeah, sure. This is looking a little messy. So Joseph, her fiancé, was a good man, and he didn't want to disgrace her publicly, so he decided to break the engagement quietly. And as he considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. "Joseph, son of David," the angel said, "do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child within her was conceived by the Holy Spirit, and she'll have a son. And you're to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." All of this occurred to fulfill the Lord's message through the prophet. "Look, the virgin will conceive a child. She'll give birth to a son. They'll call him Emmanuel," which means God is with us. When Joseph woke up, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded and took Mary as his wife. First, he goes from Mary, "I don't want to do this, I'll break the engagement." But when the angel speaks to him in a dream, he acts immediately, obeys immediately, fulfilling the word of 700-year-old prophecy, fulfills that because God is in charge and Joseph obeyed. By the way, if you ever hear people say, there's a Christian cliche, and I've said it in the past, and I understand where it's coming from, and I don't get huffy about it, but there's a Christian cliche that says, "Well, God is in control." I don't believe that anymore. I believe he's in charge, but I don't believe he's in control. I don't believe he controls the decisions we make moment by moment. He doesn't control robots here, and he doesn't control the choices of things you say to your spouse. He doesn't control what you eat, taking care of your body. He doesn't control whether you obey your parent or not. He doesn't control those decisions you make moment by moment. He doesn't control what numbers you write on your tax return. He doesn't control you. But he is in charge, and there will be justice done, and he is almighty, and he is holy, and we do have a strong helper, and he is Emmanuel, and he is with us, and he is in charge. Are you okay with that? That's Theology Jack 2019. Second picture of Joseph, scene 2, he encounters some major uncertainty. Any of you ever, or currently perhaps, encountering some uncertainties? So the shepherds have come that night when Jesus was born. They've departed. Sometimes later the wise men came. And they made Herod mad because they didn't report to him where the baby was born like Herod asked them to. And so in Matthew chapter 2, verse 13, after the wise men were gone, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream again. Get up. Flee to Egypt with the child and his mother, the angel said. Stay there in Egypt until I tell you to return, because Herod is going to search for the child to kill him. That night, Joseph left for Egypt with the child and Mary, his mother, and they stayed there until Herod's death. This fulfilled, here's another Old Testament prophecy fulfilled, this fulfilled what the Lord spoke through the prophet, I called my son out of Egypt. So in the first glimpse of Joseph, we see him encountering this incredible disappointment. Now we see him encountering this incredible uncertainty. Why is it uncertain? Joseph, leave your country. Is that a big deal? Go to Egypt. People sometimes have a hard time deciding they'll go to New York City on an outreach. This is Egypt. This is another ethnic group. This is another language. This is another culture. This is a land he's probably never been to before. Oh, honey, and by the way, get Jesus packed up, and we're going tonight. Wait, we're going to Egypt tonight? Yeah, all our stuff. I don't know what about my business, my carpentry business. I don't know what's going to happen with that. We're going to take as much stuff as we can, and there's no U-Hauls around here. But we're going to take what we can, and we're going to go to Egypt now. And how long are we staying there? Until God tells us to come back. How's that for uncertainty? It's incredible. Yet he obeys like that. The third picture of Joseph. Okay, he's encountered in disappointment, just like everybody in this room has said you have. He encountered this uncertainty, which we've all encountered, or maybe are encountering some level of uncertainty about the future. And now he's going to encounter this incredible, unexpected change. Because in Matthew chapter 2, later on, verse 19, says, when Herod died, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt. Here he is, this dream again. Dream again. Get up. Lord, could you just let Joseph have one night's sleep here somewhere? Get up, the angel said. Take the child and his mother back to the land of Israel, because those who are trying to kill the child are dead. I don't know what time of night or early morning this might have been, but get up and go. It doesn't say why this was so sudden. Like, if the guy's dead, can I just go? You know, can we just take some time and wrap up some loose ends around here? No, get up. Take your family and go back. So he got up, returned to the land of Israel with Jesus and his mother. But when he learned that the new ruler of Judea was Herod's son Archelaus, he was afraid to go there. Then, after being warned in another dream, he left for the region of Galilee. So the family went and lived in a town called Nazareth. This fulfilled another Old Testament prophecy, which said he will be called a Nazarene. First glimpse of him, disappointment. Second glimpse, uncertainty. Third glimpse. Get up now. Go back to your nation. And then halfway on the way, wait, don't go back to your homeland. Turn aside. Go to Galilee. Abrupt change. I don't know. How do you do with abrupt change? I know what happens in my mind and in most people's minds that I'm aware of. The first time you're aware of a sudden change, your first reaction is, how's this going to affect me? How's it going to affect my finances? How's it going to affect my schedule? How's it going to affect my future? Come on. He wasn't going back to his home familiar place. Going to Nazareth in Galilee. Galilee is where the Hicks lived, where the hillbillies lived. The people in Judea didn't have a lot of respect for Galileans. And for everyone in the room who raised their hand and all the controllers who wouldn't raise their hand, we would have to admit that these three things bug us. Disappointment, uncertainty, sudden change, they bug us. Come on. Amen. These things were out of Joseph's control, but God was in charge. And when we feel out of control, I want to, if you get something in your heart today, I want you to know God is in charge. And I see a couple things that are evident about Joseph that I want to touch on. And these two things that are evident about Joseph, one is heartfelt trust, and the other is instant obedience. Heartfelt trust and instant obedience. And this heartfelt trust was inside of him before these events happened. I'm sure his faith was built and encouraged as he went on, but it was there beforehand. God didn't have to form his trust and faith the first time he visited him. Okay, I want you to marry Mary. Go ahead and take her as your wife. Now, pick up your family and get out of Dodge now and get to Egypt. That'd be like saying, get up, get to Mexico now. All right, get up again, go back home. Okay, get up again. Wait, don't go back to your homeland. Go to Nazareth. The trust was there beforehand. Heartfelt trust. Little kids have an easier time trusting, I think, than adults do. Take your little child to the pool, and they're standing on the ledge, and you're down in the water, and you say, jump. Come on, daddy will catch you. Jump. It's okay. They might question for just a moment, then they're going to jump. And you catch them, and they think, wow, that's fun. They're going to do it again. And their faith just grows and grows and grows. But when they get older, and they've encountered some people who break their trust, they encounter some pains. It hurts. It can get harder to trust. But Joseph had a heartfelt trust in the Lord. And it strikes me that if God would send his son Jesus to die on the cross for you and I, then it's only logical to conclude that he's for you and I, that he's for us. And if it's true that he's for us, then it's also logical we can trust him. Are you with me on that whole transition there? He died for us, so he's for us. He's for us, so we can trust him. Heartfelt trust. Trust is so important. That's why businesses sometimes will have all of these team building exercises to help their employees trust one another and grow together. Trust falls. Ever had been a part of something where they do the trust fall thing? All right. We're going to just demonstrate here. I need Matthew. Can I borrow you for a minute? Come on up here. Andy, Coley. Do you trust those two guys? Maybe we'll add another. Come on. All right. No. All right. Step on up here. Two steps would be enough. Okay. Face me. All right. Now, yeah, keep your arms folded and look at me. Are you guys ready back there? Would you trust those guys to catch you? Would you keep your knees absolutely still, stiff? And would you just let yourself fall back and let those guys catch you? All right. Way to go, Matthew. He's a trustee. He's got some good parents there. He's trusting these. Thank you, guys. I'll do it. Oh, you wouldn't catch me, Holy. Is that what you're saying? Why do CEOs have their companies do this kind of stuff? Because they've got a group of employees. They're trying to get to work together as a team in a gelled atmosphere. People with varying degrees of natural trust. And they're like, okay, to accomplish what this company is built to do, we're going to have to build some trust among one another. So it's so important. But to trust, you have to make yourself vulnerable. Matthew made himself vulnerable right there. They could have had physical weaknesses that would cause them not to be able to catch you. They could have not liked you and decided just to let you go. You made yourself vulnerable to them. It's like, you know, if those guys don't show up and do what they're supposed to, I could be hurt real bad. And it's like sometimes we get in positions where it's like, okay, Lord, if you don't show up, this might not go so well for me. You know, I'm sure Joseph had to think like, Lord, if this virgin birth story isn't real, this is going to be really embarrassing. But whether it's drama in the family or friends at school suddenly turns on you or leaves you out of the loop or a job firing or no serious reason or whatever, some sudden change happens. It's like, Lord, if you don't show up right now and help me, this could be bad. But in all of those things, God is in charge. Joseph trusted God. Matthew 1:24, it says, Joseph woke up, did what the angel said. Matthew 2:14, that night, Jesus left for Egypt with the child and Mary. Matthew 2:21, so Joseph got up and returned to the land of Israel. He obeyed. That's the second thing. The heartfelt trust made it possible to have the instant obedience. It never says in Scripture that Joseph woke up and said, you know what, I need to talk this over a little bit with some people. I need to get some counsel here to see. Moving from one country to another is a serious thing. I've got a business here. Who's the guy? Dave Ramsey. Dave Ramsey would say no impulsive financial decisions. Right? It never says that about him. He just got up and he obeyed. Phyllis, are you available? Okay. How about altar teams today? Do we have altar ministry teams? You need a partner? All right. Disappointment, uncertainty, sudden change. How do you do with those? Is this little scene from the manger scene from the life of Joseph, does it apply to us in 2019 or what? I'm telling you, it applies day in and day out. And I want to ask you to stand and let's pray. When you trust that the pilot of a plane's in charge and he says, put your seatbelt on, you put your seatbelt on because you trust him. If God's in charge and he's for us, and we can do what he says. So oftentimes God has laid out his plan for our life. He's laid out certain things clear in scripture. Stay pure. Love your enemy. Forgive. Don't marry an unbeliever. You know, these clear things. Well, wait, you know, I want to talk to some others. Well, let me think about that. Let me just think. But what? But what? Is he for us or not? When I was working for the Ohio Division of Forestry, one of the flight detection pilots wanted to take me out one day in his little two-seater plane and fly the route with him to look for smokes. It was a high fire danger day. And so I'm with him going up in this little plane. I'm a little nervous. He gets up and he gets on course towards the region of southeastern Ohio. He's supposed to keep circling. And as we're headed that direction, he says, you want to fly now? What are you nuts? He says, ah, it's simple. Here's the controller. It looks like one of these game system controllers, only about three times as big. You know, just two handles. And he says, just take that. We're on course now. Just hold it steady. And, you know, when I think of driving, like if you drive a car, you hold the steering wheel and you keep it moving a little bit, right? You just got it just rocking just a little to keep the car steady. So I grab the controller of this plane and I start doing the same thing. And the plane's going. And he's like, stop moving the controller. I'm like, no, I'm doing what you're natural to do. He says, let go of the thing if you have to. The plane's built to fly level, let it go. Mary knows planes. She's shaking her head yes back. He says, stop moving it. Stop controlling. He said, you're oversteering. How many of us have ever tried to oversteer our life? Come on. God made our life to function best when we trust him and we obey him. Let's pray. Lord, it's obvious that Joseph's heart condition of deep felt trust opened the door for your voice to even come to him, because you wouldn't trust your own son to someone who wasn't going to be obedient. So, Lord, it's clear as ever in this little self-portrait, this little selfie taken of the manger scene, that there's things you want to trust to us, but they get released when we trust you and when we follow you and obey you. The question was asked, could you trust us with something really important? The answer would rest on whether or not we were trustworthy. So, Lord, we ask you to forgive us for our unbelief. Forgive us for not believing that you who died for us are not for us. Lord, you are for us. We can trust you. I know this is a small group today, but if you're saying, Jesus, I trust you, and I'm asking you to work in my heart a deeper, heartfelt trust, would you just lift a hand towards heaven right now? Just with your eyes closed, forget about the others around you. Lord, I want to see my heart grow deeper in trust. If we're in every season, in every situation, when we find ourselves facing disappointment, when we find ourselves facing uncertainty, Lord, when we find ourselves hit with unexpected change, blindsided at times by life circumstances, Lord, in these things, help us not to oversteer. Help us to let go. Help us to trust you. Jesus, you died for me and for my sins. Lord, you're good and you love us. And Lord, we just open our heart to you today in a fresh new way. This is so simple, but it is difficult. We recognize, Lord, that though this is a big, big, big universe, that you are in charge. Someone is in charge. Someone is at the pilot's helm. Lord, life is bigger than my stuff. It's bigger than my plans. It's bigger than my job. It's bigger than my relationships. Lord, you want to work in me and my heart through all of those things. You're the most important. Father, I ask your blessing on this people gathered together. I thank you for them coming out. They could be somewhere else. They could have sat home today and avoided the ice. So I ask you to protect them. I ask you to bless them. I ask you to just be the center of our fellowship as we close here today. And I want to say to all of you that if you have a prayer request, listen, Gracie over here can pray. And her father would love to pray with you as well. Denise and Sandy can pray. They would love to pray with you. Don't carry some heavy load out the door without someone standing with you. Let them pray with you. God bless you. There's refreshments in the lobby. Enjoy one another as long as you can. God bless.